Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show with your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm really fine. And how about you?
Oh, good. Had a nice long weekend. And yourself?
Yes, I did. A good Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. Anything memorial happening?
Little hiking, little car camping, kind of get out and tour around.
Did you get out of the country? I heard there was a rumor you'd
a little
left
bit, but
the
I'm
U.S.
Back.
Oh, good. Phil is back. What we are happy to hear. Well, I didn't leave the country this week. I left it last week, and I made it back, too. And I had a great Memorial Day and did a little bit of fishing, as you might expect, and the weather was good for it. We had a great Memorial Day.
Oh, excellent.
Well, let's talk weather, and then we're going to talk about more things that depend a bit on the weather, such as hiking on the Idaho trails with Tom Dabrowski. That'll be in a moment. Weather for today is beautiful, high of 73, comfortable with increasing clouds. Tonight, cloudy during the early evening, and then gradual clearing with a low of 46. Tomorrow looks beautiful, everyone. Sunny and a high of 68, lows in the 40s. Later in the week, we've got greater chances of rain, although not very large, 20%, 30%. And then on to the weekend, it's looking like sun and partly clouds with highs in the low 70s. Could it be any nicer?
Well, it could be if this were National Trails Day weekend coming up.
Oh, well, it just might be.
It might be.
That's right. Yeah. Phil, let's introduce our guest.
Well, we have in the studio with us today, Tom Dabrowski, president of Idaho Trails Association. And for those longtime and frequent listeners, they'll recognize Tom by voice. But those who are new to the show or the area, we'll go through a little bit further of an introduction. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Phil. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Tom. Mm-hmm. And you've had a fun Memorial Week and weekend, too. You've been out of town, haven't you?
No, we stayed in town. We did lots of things with the Lions Club. And then yesterday we had a wonderful hike on Chilco Peak with the Monday Hikers. And if any of the listeners don't know about the Monday Hikers, please go to their website. Just do a Google search on Monday Hikers. Had a great time up on Chilco Peak.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Fantastic views of our whole country here.
It is a beautiful, beautiful
hike. Wildflowers should be coming out, right?
Surprisingly, there weren't that many wildflowers on the lower part of the trail. But up on the top of North Chilco, there were acres of glacier lilies.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
It was.
There are many kinds of hiking that happen in our beautiful Sandpoint and Bonner County area and surrounding areas beyond that. And one is the Monday Hikers, but another one is the association Tom happens to be the president of, and that's the Idaho Trails Association. And Tom, why don't you just tell us a bit about how you became involved with Idaho Trails Association?
Well, I've always been an outdoor recreationist. Ever since I was small, I would hike and camp out and that sort of thing. And then I got really big time into mountain climbing. And as I got older, hanging on the side of the cliff and with a piton or then a nut or chalk in the cliff, I decided, okay, well, I've been there, done that. And gravity is not your friend. And so I thought, well, maybe a little more hiking. So I got into adventure hiking. Moved up here when I retired. My wife was born and raised here. And she had told me many years ago. In fact, it'll be our 51 wedding anniversary here in about a month.
Oh, congratulations.
And, well, thank you. In any case, Judy said, okay, when you retire, we're going to live in northern Idaho. Well, people come here to go on vacation. So that wasn't much of a burden. And so when we moved up here, I decided, okay, it's time to give back to the community. Got involved in various charitable organizations like the Lions, but also some folks introduced me to the Idaho Trails Association, which is a group of volunteers who go out and maintain our hiking trails. The reason this is so important is we have 10,000 miles of hiking trails in the state of Idaho. It's an incredible asset. Mostly built during the Depression era. And so those 10,000 miles don't get maintained very well. Now, there's a problem with federal funding. As you may know, we have a $21 trillion national deficit. And so people are trying to control costs. They've cut the money available for trail maintenance. And they've also now recently passed legislation that said, okay, folks, these are your trails. You need to volunteer to help maintain those trails. That's what the Idaho Trails Association is all about. Mm-hmm. We were formed in 2010. We're modeled after the Washington Trails Association, which has been in existence for 52 or 53 years and does a huge amount of trail maintenance work over in the state of Washington. And some really smart people, dedicated people said, we need something like this in Idaho because we can't maintain those trails. And so that's what we do. We rely on volunteers to go out and maintain trails.
Tom, you mentioned that the federal government has a limited budget for trail maintenance. And what about our own state of Idaho?
That's an excellent question. The state of Idaho has, the Department of Parks and Recreation has a budget for trail maintenance on motorized trails. That money comes from licensing fees and gas tax. There is no money for maintenance of non-motorized trails. Just to give you an idea, there's about $2.2 million available through Parks and Rec, through those sources I've mentioned, for motorized trails. There's less than $100,000 for non-motorized trails.
Yeah.
And so the current director of Parks and Rec is very interested in looking for ways to raise more money for non-motorized trails. So far, there's been ideas like charging a fee to park at the trailheads, that kind of thing. Well, or some additional taxes. Those things are not very popular. So there's been no solution yet. Part of my solution is to all of your listeners and all of the people that go out there and hike, these are your trails. This is part of your public lands and part of the recreation, the incredible recreation we have here in the state of Idaho. These are your trails. Please get off the couch, come on out, grab a Pulaski. We'll show you how to use it safely and help us maintain these trails. We have a full range of work, all the way from very energetic, very physical work, all the way down to much easier things to do. So we can have folks who don't have any training and are not particularly fit. And so lots of different tasks for lots of different kinds of people. But the point is, come on out and volunteer. These trails belong to you. If we don't take care of them, they're going to go away.
I think the interest and the obligation is felt by many hikers, but we should also note that the trails provide a community asset too, that benefits individuals and the community at large beyond the people who are out there hiking. The fact that they exist helps to add a vibrancy to our community that makes it an interesting place for others to visit and for people to live and thrive. And, you know, we don't want to probably get too far down the rabbit hole of public funding, but, you know, there are better solutions, I think, to the challenge of both funding and finding the manpower, the muscle to maintain them. It's amazing how far $2 million doesn't go. It's a drop in the bucket even to what's truly needed.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a good point. And just some interesting factoids. In the state of Idaho, agriculture brings in $7 to $8 billion a year to the state of Idaho. Outdoor recreation brings in $7 to $8 billion a year to the state of Idaho. So agriculture and recreation, outdoor recreation, are about the same. Many people don't realize that. One of the great assets that the state of Idaho has is our outdoor recreation capabilities and the opportunities. I know here in Sandpoint, just this last week, there were some people from Brazil hiking on our local Mikinik Trail, and they were astounded at the beauty of the trail and the difficulty, I might add. But they said, wow, this is, you know, we don't have things like this. And so these facilities bring in people from outside our communities. There was an interesting article in the Bonner County Daily Bee a number of months ago about the revenue that the state parks bring to the area. Some pretty surprising numbers. But if you stop and think about it, we have people from Spokane that come up here to hike the Mikinik Trail. They buy gas, they buy food, they frequently buy lodging. So you're right, Phil, there's not only the aesthetics of the recreational facilities we have. There's the economic value. We don't want to shortchange that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and without them, Judy might not have moved back, and Sandpoint might not have gotten Tom Dabrowski here with all his vibrancy.
And the point being that we folks come to visit the area, but we also move here for the very same reasons. And mm-hmm. so it's been a huge benefit to the community.
We'll drill down into some of the specifics in a moment, but just give us a snapshot of where ITA has grown into in the last 8 years. What does this summer look like in total for the association?
Sure. Let me start with the very beginning. 8 years ago, 2010, we had one project, one trail maintenance project, in McCall, Idaho, with 13 people. Last year, 2017, we had 21 projects around the state with a little over 200 people. This year, we have 30 projects all around the state with a number that's probably going to approach 300 different volunteers. We currently have over 1,200 people on our mailing list. And those are the people that we go out to and say, hey, we need help.
And much of it was in the southern part of the state before Tom came along, yes?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. This year in northern Idaho, out of those 30 projects, there's 12 here in northern, in the Idaho Panhandle National Forest. That's because we have some great facilities. And I have to say, the people that work in recreation in the land manager agencies, which in our area is almost all Forest Service, but some Bureau of Land Management. For example, the Gamlin Lake Trail mm-hmm. system is a great system, and the BLM takes care of that. But the recreation specialists that work for the Forest Service are really great people. They're very dedicated. They really care, and they've made it easy for us to volunteer. And so they encourage us. I know they'll be out there. I'm going to talk some more about what's going to happen on Saturday, National Trails Day, on the Mikinik Trail, but they're out there helping us, and they're out there getting the word out about these projects coming up. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. You mentioned the volume, of course, of trails that are on Forest Service versus BLM, and so naturally the work you're mostly doing is on the Panhandle Forest?
Correct.
You're locally.
In northern Idaho. Mm-hmm. It's the Idaho Panhandle National mm-hmm. Forest, which, of course, is the Coeur d'Alene and the mm-hmm. Sandpoint District, the Bonners District, Priest Lake, lots of trails. And different districts have different percentages of motorized versus non-motorized. But again, and believe me, I'm not against motorized. In fact, I own some motorized equipment and use it. But the motorized folks do get funding. And they have had in the past active membership that goes out and volunteers. And what we're trying to do, what we are doing through the Idaho Trails Association, is getting volunteers for non-motorized trails to come out and help us maintain those trails.
There's a need for both, and mm-hmm. certainly for the non-motorized. And Tom, you mentioned it's in the it's Forest Service land and BLM, so it's federal land mainly that you're working on, not state land.
Correct. There's not much in the way of hiking trails on state land other than the state parks. And the state parks system does a really good job on their trails. For example, Round Lake, which is right nearby, a great place to do a day hike. Farragut State Park, there's some great hikes down there. And so state parks folks, they're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. It's on the federal lands where funding's a bigger challenge.
And so the scale of the volume is scalable in terms of what the state park system manages here locally versus the Forest Service.
Oh, absolutely. Again, those 10,000 miles I mentioned earlier, 10,000 miles of hiking trails in the state of Idaho, including all of the land managers, the state people, mm-hmm. the federal BLM, the Forest Service, 9,000 miles of those trails are on Forest Service land. Mm-hmm. So it's primarily the Forest Service.
Tom, we've been talking an awful lot about hikers, and these are non-motorized trails, but there are other folks who benefit, correct? There might be skiers or Are bikers allowed on many of these trails?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and the other thing that, I mean, this what a great place to live, the Sand Point area. Mm-hmm. We have some very active mountain bike groups here, the Pondere Peddlers, others. And I'll mention a specific individual, Larry Davidson, local fellow. Larry maintains the Gold Hill Trail. I don't think many people know that. Us Monday hikers went out and did a hike earlier this year, and there were 45 trees across that trail. Larry went out, and in a couple of days, those trees were gone. Again, a volunteer, somebody that goes out and helps to maintain those trails. So, yes, the mountain bikers, Pondere Peddlers, are working on the Watershed Crest Trail. That, again, is going to be an incredible economic draw for this area. Oh, it's just an incredible asset. Not only is it fun for us locally, brings money to the community.
But your focus, generally speaking, is on the backcountry trails.
Generally, it's on backcountry trails. Mm-hmm. Because, again, those are the ones that are really suffering. Mm-hmm. And, for example, in the Frank Church Wilderness, there is an area that had a huge landslide with a bunch of timber blocking the trail for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we were able to get a crew in there a couple of years ago in the Marble Creek area and clear that out. So I have this wonderful shot of taken on a particular day, like a Wednesday, and it shows this mass of trees, just this jackstrawed mess of trees across the trail. And a day later, the trail was open again. And people say, well, you know, you need to be able to use chainsaws in wilderness areas. It's not true. The Idaho Trails Association does not use chainsaws, and we do that on purpose. Number one, we have when we have a crew of 20 people out there, we can have 10 people working on crosscut saws, but only one or two working on chainsaws. Chainsaws are dangerous inherently. But we can take people off the street and we can train them in a half an hour how to safely use a crosscut saw. So when we go into those areas, we'll use, and I've also heard people say, well, nobody has crosscut saws anymore. If any of your listeners have a crosscut saw out in the garage that your grandfather left you, please donate it to the ITA. We're a 501c3, a tax deductible donation. We had a fellow in southern Idaho donate a saw that was made in 1935 by Simmons, had never been used. It was still in the original packaging, and that chain or that crosscut saw is now being used to demonstrate crosscut saw use.
Yeah, what a gem, too. I mean, the steel is different from the 30s.
It is.
Now.
In fact, I've been told they no longer make the steel that they used to. So again, anyone that has a crosscut saw that you'd like to donate, please go to IdahoTrailsAssociation.org. That's our website. And just send us a little note, say you'd like to donate.
Does that shout out include a request for Pulaskis too?
Pulaskis we have plenty of. Right now we're pretty good on McLeods we could use. That's another tool that's a tool that's very handy.
There's a lot of ways to help, and probably the best thing to do is to go to the website to either volunteer or find out how to donate specific items or simply to become a member.
Exactly. And again, please don't be afraid to volunteer. You don't have to know anything about a Pulaski. We'll tell you all about that.
We're going to take a short music break, and then we're going to come back and hear about some of the specific individual projects coming up this summer. We'll be hearing the grassroots walking through the country. And for those of you just joining us, you are listening to 88.5. And that was The Grassroots with Walking Through the Country.
This is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. And if you're just joining us, this morning's guest is Tom Dabrowski, president of Idaho Trails Association. And we're talking all about trails. And part of the reason we're talking about trails is Saturday is a special day for trails, isn't it, Tom?
It really is. It's National Trails Day. in this year of the 50th anniversary of the National Trails Act. And that was the act that established our original national scenic trails, the Pacific Crest Trail, the Appalachian Trail, the Continental Divide Trail, and also, I think now over 1,200 national recreation trails. And I mentioned earlier on the show that yesterday the Monday Hikers did the Chilco Mountain Trail, Trail 14, which is a national recreation trail.
Yeah, it's really an amazing system. And the two were designed at the same time by the same act and for complementary purposes, the vision for the national recreation trails generally being more easily accessible from urban areas and shorter in duration and providing that really outlet for day hikes of great interest.
Yes, and also we have this incredible system of long trails. And so I'm happy to say I have a number of friends who are through hikers who will decide to go for a walk. And then 3,000 miles later, they've left the Mexican border. They're now on the Canadian border. Interesting folks and interesting experiences.
Yeah, that's right. A wide range of different options for hikers and wide range of different hikers out there.
Yes.
So tell us, ITA must be doing something to commemorate the day?
We are. We're going to work on our very own Mikinic Trail right here on the outskirts of Sandpoint. About 3.5 mile long trail, gains 2,200 feet. And if any of your listeners have never been on it, please do it. It's a beautiful trail. It's difficult, but it gets you up to a fantastic view of the city of Sandpoint. You're way above the airport. In fact, you look like you're in an airplane flying over the city. But it's a really nice hike. So what we're going to do is we're going to meet at 8 o'clock Saturday morning at the trailhead, which is out on the wooden something road.
I think it's Woodland Drive?
Woodland Drive, thank you.
It's on your way up Schweitzer Mountain. It's mm-hmm. quick left before you head up the mountain.
Yes, and so there's a big parking area there. What we'll do is we'll go maintain the trail. We'll do things like, one of the big challenges with the Mikinic Trail is there's very steep sections, and we have to improve the drainage to get the water as the snow melts off the trail. Otherwise, it just makes a miserable deep rut down the side of the mountain. We cut back brush, so when you're walking up and it's been raining or early in the morning, you don't get all wet from the dew or the rain on the brush. And I understand there may be a few logs across the trail. I'm going to walk the trail tomorrow to check it out. But what we'll do is start at 8 o'clock. We'll give everybody some safety training. We'll talk about tools and how to properly cut brush and how to properly cut out the logs. And then we'll finish work by about 4 in the afternoon.
And do you have, is it required to sign up in advance?
It is nice if people sign up in advance. And the way they do that is go to idahotrailsassociation.org, click on projects, scroll down, find Mikinic, and hit the sign up button.
Yeah.
If they don't have a chance to do that, they can still show up at 8 o'clock and I'll have them sign some paperwork because we'd love to put them to work.
That trail is really I would have to say, a gem for our community. It's just a wonderful scenic trail. And what I always think about when I'm hiking Mikinic is this must be what King Kong felt like, because the planes are flying around and we're up.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
I'm just projecting ahead to Saturday for some person listening going, well, I want to hike it Saturday, but I'm not sure if I want to volunteer. Try getting past Tom without volunteering. Mm-hmm. Just try.
So true.
Yeah.
Tom, there are lots of projects, and you mentioned many more this year than last year, but why don't you give us a sampling of some of the interesting ones? Some will be full, some, I suppose, have spaces.
Yes. We have two types of projects, basically. One are the one-day projects, like Mikinic, where we go up, and it's more of a front country trail. The other kind of project we have are the week-long projects. And in the week-long projects, we go further back away from the roads, further back away from civilization, and we'll make a base camp, and then we'll work from the base camp. Of the week-long projects, we have two types of those. We have the backpacking type, where everybody carries in their own gear. They bring their own camping gear and their own food, and we go work during the day, and then we all get together and sit around and tell stories about things that never really happened in the evening. And but the really popular type is the second type of week-long, and that's the one where we have a packer bring in all of your camp gear so you can put in some extra things like a folding chair. We also pack in all the food, and we also provide a cook. And so when you get up in the morning, there's breakfast. Then you go work during the day, you come back in the evening, and there's dinner. And some of the, well, I would say all of the cooks. In fact, we have a project that I would encourage people to take a look at. It's called Russell Ridge, and that's in July. And it's in the Bonner's Ferry District. And I can tell you, well, I'll tell you who the cook is. It's Pat Hart.
Hmm.
Pat Hart is famous for her cooking. I know I was on one of her projects last year, and she did a salmon pasta dish one evening that was one of the best I've ever had.
Phil and I are furiously.
What are the dates of that trip? July?
It's, yes, go to the website, oh, okay, and it'll tell you the specific dates. Russell Ridge. That's a project where the food will all be packed in, the water will be packed in, and Pat will be in there to do the cooking.
it sounds like you need a special trail skills college for some of these things, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe one that has a cooking module.
Yes, well, actually, we have done some of that. The incredible thing is we have some very talented people who volunteer to do this cooking. For example, we have a project in the Little Wood River Valley down near Sun Valley, and it's a week long. The lady who volunteers to cook for that back about 4 or 5 years ago, I believe, won the International Dutch Oven Cooking Championship.
Mm.
That when we post that project on the website, it fills in about 5 minutes because the people in the know know if you want to eat, that's the one.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because eating is an important part of being in the backcountry and working hard. It starts to become more important as the days go on.
It does. You have to fuel the engine.
Right. Yes.
And what we decided is if you're going to fuel the engine, you might as well fuel it with something really tasty.
Yeah, encourage people to come back.
Yes, yeah. It does. We have people that have been coming back now for the entire 8 years that we've been doing this. And it's gratifying to see that. But we're also looking for new folks.
Of course, because you've got new projects. So, Tom, what I'm hearing is that there are projects for a single day, projects that would be longer but would have quite a bit of assistance in terms of food and packing so that a person isn't just backpacking it in there. And then the third type, which really is more strenuous, I would say.
Correct.
Yeah. And nice.
We rate the projects so people know going in up front that this one's going to be a bit more difficult. And we do have a total range. Some are very doable and some are very difficult.
So you've told us about Miknik and a teaser about Russell Ridge. Tell us a little bit more about the local offerings this summer.
Sure. The next thing that we'll have is an invitation-only event called the Crew Leader College. One of the things, as we continue to expand, one of the things we have to do is train more people to be crew leaders. And so we have what's called the Crew Leader College. This will be the second year we've had one in Northern Idaho. So we teach people about the policies. We teach people about safety. Safety is very important to us. We teach people about our harassment policy. We will not tolerate harassment of any kind on a project. We teach people about how to train people to do trail work. I mean, simple things like when you cut brush, you cut the brush close to the ground square so that you're not, in effect, creating a punji stick alongside the trail. You know, just little things like that make the work better quality, safer for the hikers, the users of the trail, that kind of thing. So anyway, Crew Leader College, that'll be the 14th, 15th, 16th of June. Then we will have, at the end of June, we'll be back on the Chimney Rock Trail. excuse me, another beautiful local trail. We started brushing that one out last year. Got about halfway done. We're going to finish that this year. That's at the end of June. And then a whole series of other projects that will go on. I mentioned Russell Ridge a week long up here. We have a second week long in northern Idaho that's at the end of August, and that's the Upper Priest River Trail, the 304 trail. And there's a trail 28 that drops down to that trail. Mm-hmm. If you've never been on the Upper Priest River Trail, it's a beautiful forest walk with huge trees. And it's just an almost magical place.
Yeah, wonderful old growth. That's also the northern end of the Idaho Centennial Trail, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we're doing in the Idaho Trails Association is we're putting a focus on the Idaho Centennial Trail. If any of the listeners don't know about the ICT, it starts on the Nevada border and it goes almost to the Canadian border. The Border Patrol people are happy that we stopped at American Falls, just a bit short of the border.
Yeah, I think it's like 300 and some odd yards short. So
exactly.
It's all but there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so anyway, we will be doing that Upper Priest River project this summer. And that one is because we're trying to complete the Idaho Centennial Trail, keep that in good shape. We have projects. The first projects we're going to do in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness over to a place called Cooper Flat. And those projects are not yet totally filling, but not totally full. That's in a beautiful area. There, people will hike in about 9 miles. To a beautiful base camp. Again, we're going to have Packers support with a cook, and we'll work on some trails in that area that haven't been maintained in many, many years. We have projects in the Sawtooths, the White Clouds. I mentioned earlier the Little Wood River Valley full. So are the Sawtooths or the White Clouds. But if you go to the website, you can see which projects have space. One other I'll mention. In July, we're going to do a project at Alden Creek at the headwaters of the Coeur d'Alene River. That'll be an overnight where we'll drive in and camp at the cars and work on Trail 52, the Alden Creek Trail. So again, I encourage people, that's a great way to start. Come on out, spend overnight there at a car camp so you can bring all the comforts of home, and then we'll work for 2 days on that trail.
That does sound like a very good way to begin to understand what trail work is like.
Mm-hmm,
a little
mm-hmm.
camping and a little volunteering.
Yes.
With all the luxuries and the kitchen sink you can bring in the back of your vehicle.
So true.
Absolutely.
But no dogs.
No dogs.
That's right.
No, we have some people that don't like dogs. We have some people that are allergic to dogs. And so we've decided that it's just easier to have the no dog mm-hmm. rule.
No dogs, but you'll train people. They don't need to have any previous experience.
Correct. In fact, sometimes it's better to do it that way. I know I had some bad habits. I know in one of my first trail projects, Jeff Halligan, our executive leader, said to me, okay, Tom, now check out this work location on the trail and make sure that it's okay. So I went and I looked over here to the left and I looked to the right, forwards and backwards to see, were there any hazards there? And I said, well, it looks pretty good. And he said, look up. Mm-hmm. And I looked up and here was a big dead limb hanging over the trail. And so what we do is we spend time with people to say, really see what's around you.
Right.
And frequently in modern life, we don't do that. And out there on the trail, we want people to be safe. I'm knocking on wood right now. We've never had an injury on any of our projects, and we want to keep it that way. That requires us to make sure people have mm-hmm. good training.
It's yeah. remarkable when you think about it, all the remote areas and the mm-hmm. sawing and trees falling over and this and that. That's
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the benefits for folks that volunteer? And we've heard quite a few of them. They get out in the outdoors. They learn some skills, but they learn more than that. They learn about safety.
Mm-hmm. They learn how to use tools, traditional tools. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think is a tremendous benefit is they meet people. They meet people with similar interests, And I know that through the ITA, I've met people that I now hike with. I mean, one fellow, he and I went over to the Wind River Range last year and had a beautiful 10-day backpacking trip. And so meeting people is very important. The other thing is they can get a better appreciation for the public lands. I mean, again, I'll come back to the fact that these are an incredible asset. I mean, I've heard some people say, oh, we have too much federal land in the state of Idaho. And I completely disagree with that. The thing is, it's owned by all of us. It encompasses some absolutely beautiful country, like the Sawtooths, the White Clouds, the Seven Devil Mountains, the Selway Bitterroot. And what we've done is we've taken those beautiful lands and we've dedicated those to the people of the U.S., the entire country, to recreate in. Remember the 7 to 8 billion a year in outdoor recreation? They're coming here and they're spending money. And what they're doing is they're enjoying these lands that we live with.
Yes, supporting our state.
And what you're really talking about is building the community, not just the trails or the hiking, but the sense of camaraderie that goes with this, the connectedness that, you know, these are our common public lands and common challenges, and ITA is building that community that supports that.
Exactly.
So true. And on that note, who do we need to help us continue to build community and take care of our lands but children? How are children involved with Idaho Trails?
Well, a great question, and it's a new program. Again, remembering that this is only our 8th year, it's been a bit like taking a sip from a fire hose. It's been moving rapidly. We're growing rapidly, doing a whole lot more work. This year, we decided we would apply for a grant from an organization in the Wood River Valley, Blaine County, to start a youth program. We were awarded that grant. This year will be our first youth project where we'll take at-risk youth. And what I mean by at-risk is youth that might not ever get a chance to get out into the backcountry and see their public lands. And we'll take 12 of those at-risk youth on a week-long project. Again, it'll be PAC-supported with a cook, but also a youth counselor, a fellow that's been doing this for 30 years. And we're going to take them out there, teach them how to maintain a trail, teach them about their public lands, teach them about the flora and the fauna, and how to work together. So this will be our first project. From that, we're going to learn lots of lessons, and then we plan on having multiple projects in 2019. So we're just starting, but I believe this is really something that's critical for the future of our public lands. We have to get more people to appreciate those lands and understand how to care for them.
Mm-hmm. So true. Will they learn how to use crosscut saws and Pulaskis, Tom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the end, they're going to be really good at crosscut saws and Pulaskis.
And they'll share that with their friends. Hopefully, they'll bring out more youth next year.
That's the idea. It's to, again, we're looking towards the Washington Trails Association, 52 years old. They have a vibrant youth program. Thousands of young people have been through that program and now are the stewards for our public lands.
So there's other work, too, besides the trail building and the youth. Last summer, there was some inventory monitoring work that was being done.
Oh, yes. There's some parts of this Forest Service system where the land managers don't have the staff resources to get back in these remote areas and really find out what they've got. Not all people are careful with their public lands. So we get people leaving trash. We get people making campsites where they shouldn't and that kind of thing. So the land managers are required to do an evaluation of the lands that they're caring for. And they just don't have the staff to do that in some areas. So we went into two remote areas, the Gospel Hump Wilderness and the Seven Devils Wilderness. And we had crews go in to do evaluations of the condition of the trails, the conditions of the campsites, and the user-made trails. One of the problems we have on public lands is some people will start walking off the established trail, and pretty quick you have a dozen unauthorized trails that go willy-nilly around in a beautiful meadow. And what the land managers try to do is discourage that use, block off those things to concentrate the use on the designed trails.
And it gets confusing if trails are going everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So anyway, last year we developed one of our volunteers, a lady named Pam Bond, who's a brilliant GIS person, developed a new app for a smartphone that would allow us to do surveys of these public lands and the campsites and the trails. And they did a fantastic job. The Forest Service, the land managers on those projects thought we would get about half of it done. We got about 95% of it done because we had a crew of fast-moving, high-energy people.
So there's a lot of different things people can do. And for some, their forte might not be swinging a Pulaski, but they can use a GPS, or they might have other skills that that ITA can use as a volunteer-driven organization.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we're actively looking for people that would like to help us with publicity, with communications to our volunteers, members, and the people on our email list, because we are being asked by the land managers to do more than we can do with the volunteers we have today. And so what we have to do is get the word out, get more people, as I said, to get off the couch, come out and help, volunteer to help their trails on their public lands.
So if someone listening wants to help out with publicity, how should they get a hold of you?
Just send an email to idahotrailsassociation.org, and it will get to me.
Very good. Well, as we begin to run short on time, we're going to conclude. Are there any last items you'd like to be sure we mentioned today, Tom?
I think we've pretty much covered the ITA stuff.
Well, we can't have Tom Dabrowski on at the end of May and not talk about summer events in the Lions Club, at least for a little bit.
Well, thank you, Phil. I'm also a Lions Club member, and I'm obligated to do this. My wife, Judy, is president. And
where is Judy right now?
Judy right now is sitting out in front of the co-op and selling raffle tickets. And after I get it off the radio with you, I'll be out there with her selling raffle tickets. So if anyone has any questions about the ITA or the Lions, come on out to the co-op today and visit with us. We're set up. You can't miss us. We're set up out there. The Lions sell raffle tickets to help pay for the Independence Day, the 4th of July celebration. It helps pay for the parade, which is quite expensive. It helps to pay for the fireworks. It helps to pay for the prizes for the kids that are in the kids' parade. And so anyway, we're out doing what we do every year. We're selling raffle tickets so that the Lions can continue to do their many good works here in the community.
Boy, and the 4th of July is just right around the corner.
It is.
And before long, we'll be thinking about Christmas and Toys for Tots.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. The interesting thing in the Lions is we never forget about Toys for Tots. It was about 3 weeks after Christmas that my wife grabbed me by the collar and said, I happen to be one of the toy buyers for the Toys for Tots program. She said, okay, toy buyer, we're out to one of the local stores that's giving us a big discount.
After Christmas sale.
And so we were out buying our toys. The Lions Club puts about 10,000 toys in the toy room for the Christmas Toys for Tots giveaway.
Well, I think that's a good segue to finish out this segment of the show. Don't we have a Christmas-related song coming up?
Phil, as a matter of fact, we do. Yeah. So this is a wonderful way to take a song break. Thank you, Tom, for joining us as president of the Idaho Trails Association and as a member and maybe president of the Lions Club. What are you these days?
I'm just a member. I used to be president, but now I'm happy to just sell tickets and volunteer on lots of Lions activities.
Thank you, Tom. Very good.
Thank you. Well, folks, in honor of Christmas and also in honor of Bing Crosby, we're about to play Bing Crosby's 1947 White Christmas because it came out on this day. Bing Crosby with White Christmas. Bing was a Washington native, wasn't he, Phil?
He was, and kind of a strange time of the year to release a Christmas song, the end of May.
Seems so, but worked well with our last bit about Lions Club. Well, we've had a great interview with the Idaho Trails Association, and let's look forward to what's happening next week on the KRFY Morning Show. And next week's a little bit special because at the end of next week, we'll be having our annual membership drive. It's 2 days live on air, June 8th and 9th, and we'll be offering live programming from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. for 2 days, hoping that folks will stop into our studio, listen to the live offerings, and renew their membership if they haven't.
And on Tuesday, we'll be doing something special to lead in, interviewing, it sounds like, select guests, listeners, supporters, programmers.
Yes, could be any of the above. So stay tuned for next Tuesday, and you'll be hearing an interesting program. It'll be happening all week, Wednesday, Thursday.
So what do we have on the upcoming morning shows this week?
Oh, this week we are going to be having our Wednesday morning show with Susie Perez and Chris Bessler. Two local groups will be on the show, Bay Trail Run organizer Nancy Dooley and the Chafe 150 organizers Elena Westfall and Mel Dick. That'll be tomorrow at 8 a.m. And then on Thursday, the 31st, I hope you'll join Jim Healy and Jack Peterson. Their guests will be Jessica Rachels, who will talk about the Idaho CMV Advocacy Project, and I'm not sure what that stands for.
I don't know.
We will find out tomorrow.
You have to tune in and listen to find out more.
So true. Phil, let's talk about calendar events.
Lots of events this week. Of course, we're coming into the big Trails Day weekend, but always a lot of civic events going on in the area. On the 30th, that would be Wednesday, tomorrow, the CANS group, Citizens Against the Newport Silicon Smelter, have a volunteer meeting from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Hotel Ruby in Ponderay. People who are interested to learn more can show up and volunteer. And then we have on the 30th also the Lake Ponderay Toastmasters Club meeting from 6 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. at the Forest Burge Charter High School, 614 South Madison. To find out more, you can call Debbie at 208-283-9008. It's held every Wednesday. Toastmasters is quite a good thing if you're interested in becoming more confident with public speaking.
I would agree.
On the 30th, boy, it's a busy, busy Wednesday. The Forest Bird Annual World's Fair, hosted at and by the Forest Bird Charter Middle School's Social Studies Department, celebrates America's Western migration, countries, cultures, and ancient civilizations from around the world. Held from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Forest Bird Charter School Field. Weather permitting. If not, it'll be held indoors. Families and children are encouraged to attend this fun and educational cultural experience featuring student-led booths and cultural displays and culinary delicacies. All proceeds raised from raffle sales will support the department and the 8th grade Yellowstone trip. That sounds like fun.
That does sound fun.
Open to the public. For more information, call 208-255-7771. And more events.
Oh, and I've got to mention one, Phil. On the 31st, I hope that folks will plan on attending the State of the Scotchmans. Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness will be holding their annual State of the Scotchmans in Odin Hall. That's at 143 Sunnyside Road. Speaker and guest, special guest, is mountain goat expert Gail Joslin. She will be the featured speaker. Social hour begins at 6 p.m. and Joslin's presentation begins at 7 p.m. Learn who the FSPW Old Goat is going to be this year. Get a chance to bid on some interesting items as part of the silent auction. It's free and open to the public, and it's an interesting evening. I've attended it for, 3 years, I guess.
Always a lot of fun, interesting, educational, and inspirational. Good thing to get into the summer groove with.
I would agree.
And speaking of the groove, on the 31st, The Groove Is Not Trivial is hosted by the Panada at the Little Theater. The documentary The Groove Is Not Trivial will start at 6:30 p.m. Learn more about the film, which follows one man's personal quest for self-expression.
Let's not forget about the Kinnikinick Plant Society annual sale.
Yep, we had talked about that last week. Good reminder this week. On the 2nd, the Arboretum Celebration and Native Plant Sale will be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Lakeview Park. 39th Annual Native Plant Sale at the Native Plant Arboretum. co-sponsored by the Idaho Park and Rec Department. Also on the 2nd, the Sand Creek Paddlers Challenge. Families and serious racers alike, come and join Sandpoint Park and Rec Department for the annual Sand Creek Paddlers Challenge. 4-mile paddle. Boy, that's actually a pretty big little creek there.
Yeah, that's a long paddle.
Yeah. Pre-race meetings start at 9:30 p.m. Race begins at 10 a.m. Call 208-263-3613 for more information.
All right, and that's going to be all we have time for this week. Thank you for joining us on Tuesday's KRFY Morning Show with Julie and Phil, and we'll see you all next week.